The movie producer program. So if you open the video files there.
Outside of Nero.
Outside of Nero.
Oh, I see.
And add all the movie files to that one. And then it will save it in the right format for the movie. And
but you know, I used to.
So use download in one format through Nero. Mm-hmm. Then you move into another to create a movie.
You just download it using the torrent software. Download on the
Torrent. Yeah, that's another link on your. Okay.
Right.
Download it into your hard disk. You put it into the movie software. Like, open the movie software. It's a new project, and add videos, and you add all the videos there. And then
actually, I was playing with it. I tried to do that. It created one file, a movie, but it's only titles in it. I don't think that the actual movie.
Is it okay if I share your classes with a guy at work? He heard that we're doing Kriya Yoga. He said he has been practicing all kind of spirituality. He's from
Venezuela
for many years, and he's vegetarian. But when he heard accidentally the conversation that. We're doing Kriya Yoga. He said, I've been looking for Kriya Yoga. So I said, I'm going to ask our guru if she doesn't mind to share all the recordings.
Oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
I told him that here it's limited time and it's a private place, so I'm not sure if you can join, but share if.
I think it looks like we have space.
He's a very, very nice person. Okay.
Sure.
But I didn't promise him anything, but I said that I'm going to ask you if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You can bring him here.
Yeah, he's a very, very nice person.
We could always add more places. I mean, it's not being...
What about our girls? Where the girls are?
Sorry?
Where are our ladies?
I know the ladies. Sonia is sick. I don't know where the other two are. Hopefully they remember it.
Yeah. Okay.
But Sonia is going to be sick over there.
I have to watch somebody.
Sonia will be back.
Next class, you can go.
I have to watch somebody.
You can watch it.
Go ahead.
No, standing and doing it, or
that's right. So you know the scar first, right?
Okay.
So then, once I finish that, then we can change the focus.
So
it's recording now.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We'll try to practice.
I think we moved the carpet around a little bit.
Yes, that's right. You gotta zoom it up fully and the frame.
Yeah. It's okay.
Okay. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. And, an exciting year of advanced classes. And we'll begin, as always, with Surya Namaskar. So, again, you should all know the postures, synchronize the breathing, and then repeat the mantras mentally, right? And just go at your own pace. And we'll do 30 seconds of Shavasana afterwards. Okay? You can begin. 30 seconds of Shavasana. Okay, you can sit up. So, actually, I want to change the focus. So, I'll be, we'll be starting with the usual leg stretches. So, something like this. Okay. So again, same one, half butterfly first. So now you pull it up, and you're trying to push your knee to the ground.
Yeah.
And then circles, clockwise, counterclockwise. And then, so again, we'll be doing, more advanced asanas now, so again, you can just watch or you can see what you can do. Again, it's
exactly.
Yeah. But you want to basically reach behind your back and see if you can grab this foot, right? And then grab the other foot and just stretch one way and then stretch the other way. And then the idea here is actually to bring your head down to your knee eventually, right? So you can grab your heel, elbow on the ground, and then exhale and bring your head all the way down. And relax.
Can we block?
And the other foot. Same thing. And circles. Exhale and bring your head to your knee if you can. Up. So that was kind of just the warm up. So let's move the. So starting lesson 13 in here. Discussion of karma yoga. Again, these things all come naturally, in fact, from doing the practices. Oh, here's the first asana. So again, this one is similar to what I was doing. Now you do both legs together, right? So again, just see if you can grab both your feet. Right? And you just just focus on your muscles that are stretching and you see which ones are tight which ones need to be loosened, and just try to you know, mentally loosen them all, right? And you can try to, you know, pull your heels off the ground even a little bit. If you're comfortable here, you can move your hands down to your heels to get even lower. Let's take deep breaths and relax into the stretch. And then the final posture is to actually bring your head all the way down to your knees and your elbows to the ground. Right. Actually, what I'll do with this one, I'll just do this one more time, but from the side. Maybe it'll show better on the camera that way. Actually, that's not even the final posture, right? The final posture is you should be able to just, without using your hands to pull yourself, you should just be able to come, take, you know, lie on your legs like that without even pulling yourself with your hands. Have your elbows on the ground, and you kind of just, at the very end, you drape your fingers around your toes, right? So that's what's expected eventually. So actually, there's a few more forward bending ones. So remember the butterfly? So we'll do that now. So the other thing I add to the butterfly is I do, I can't remember if I showed you or not, but I do one stretch whereby I keep my my feet out a bit, and I bring my forehead to my heels, right? So it is kind of like this. Right? And then I do the actual butterfly, which is to bring your heels all the way in, and you know, press with your elbows on your thighs to bring your knees to the ground. Right. Okay. And the other thing you can do is you can put your hands on your ankles to get and get your elbows out farther to get your have more leverage in applying pressure, and then push. Relax and just squeeze your legs, loosen the muscles. So the next one here. Yeah, so we'll do the one with the next one's with the legs split apart. So spread your legs apart as far as you can. Right. Again, this is my direction of least flexibility. But again, so take your right hand and try to grab your left foot and twist and stretch. Okay, and the other side. Okay. Now this way, try to put your head to your knee actually. So again, put one hand around the heel, other hand just here, and then bring your head down to your knee. Okay. And the other side, same thing. Now the final stretch now is to actually bring your head to the floor between your legs, right? So again, I have to hold on and pull myself forward. Right. And then eventually move your hands down to your heels if you can. As close as I can get. But again, the idea here is eventually you should be able to just put your hands behind your back, you know, and then just go up and bring your head all the way down by leveraging your arms only at the back without even pulling on your feet. So, anyways, just relax the muscles again. Okay. Now, actually, so we should do like a back pose. Remember the camel? So you'd always counter a forward bending poses with at least one backward bending pose, right? So. Right? So, anyways, the camel was covered in there from the beginning course, right? So just. Put one hand on one heel, and the other hand on the other heel. Stick your chest out, breathe deeply. And let your head hang back. Okay, and then same thing, come back up. And then do the moon pose, right? So that one, I get my hands up and just go forward. And breathe deeply into the lower back. Okay, so let's see what else we have in the lesson 13. So you can probably adjust the zoom again. Yeah. Okay, so we have the next pranayama practice. Basically, now we go to the final breathing ratio. So we'll use the same breathing ratio now for the entire advanced course, like all year long, basically. So previously, the last ratio given in the beginner class was 1-8-6-1. So if you inhale for 4 seconds, you hold for 32 seconds, you exhale for 24 seconds. You hold the breath out for 4 seconds. So the final ratio is to increase the external breath retention, right? So again, inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 32 seconds, exhale for 24 seconds, and now hold the breath out for 8 seconds before you bring in your next inhale of 4, 32, 24, and then 8 again, hold the breath out. Okay, so we won't practice that just yet. I think we'll see what else we have in there. I think that's it for lesson 13, basically. There's a huge, there's actually, I think, 20, 30 pages discussion of, Tantra itself, which is a very broad subject. You know, I mean, Tantra covers, like, everything. Everything to do with spirituality you can imagine is covered, by Tantra. And and there's a lot of practices that you can do with a lot of different. They give us the yantra symbols. Again, they can be used for meditation. They give a bunch of mantras for that can be practiced as well. But we're going to kind of bypass that. We're going to actually use what's given in that book, which I'll get to in a minute. Lesson 14. Oh, Mula Shodhana. There's another cleaning practice. So, it's a good one, but again, you know, as with all the cleaning practices, I mean, you kind of have to wrap your head around it a bit. So we did Jal Neti, which is, again, pouring water through your nose, right, again. You know, even that very first practice people will find strange. But they just get more strange now. Then we did Kunjal Kriya, which was, you know, drinking water and then bringing it back out, vomiting it back out. And then Shankha Prakshalana, where you actually pass water all the way through your digestive tract. Mula Shodhana is cleaning the anus and the rectum with your finger. And basically it's pretty simple practice, right? You just you know, lubricate your finger with like some ghee or some oil, and you insert it, right? And you just kind of massage and swoosh it around, right? And then of course, you know, you have to make sure you wash your hands well afterwards, right? And again, your fingernails should be short, so you know nothing can get under the fingernails, right, and all that. But it's actually...
You can use a glove, right?
You could use a glove if you want. Yeah, you could use a glove if you want. Yeah, there's these latex gloves and stuff now, and you make sure it's lubricated and all that, yeah? But again, it actually gives you a nice good massage. It actually, if you have any trouble with, you know, constipation or hemorrhoids or things like that, right? And it does wonders for, you know, making that part of your body quite healthy, in fact. I personally, I usually do it when I do the Ayurvedic massage, Abhyanga. Anybody familiar with that? So in Ayurveda, they recommend, again, depending on your body type, whether you're Vata, Pitta, or Kapha. Again, that's a whole, I mean, it's just a whole giant subject, which is not, it's kind of outside the scope of this class, but just briefly, I'm a Vata body type, so what's good for a Vata body type is we tend to have dry skin, right? I tend to have dry skin. And sesame oil is recommended. So I just buy some virgin sesame oil from the supermarket. You cure it at home on the stove. You just have to heat it up a bit and then you take it off. And then you, you know, again, depending how often you can do it. Some people do it daily, but you can do it like once a week or once a month. And again, right now, I used to have a lot of trouble with my skin. Yeah, it's since all been cured. Again, partially with the help of this practice. So I used to do it like weekly. Now I do it like you know, once a month, only during the winter months. Actually, I'm pretty fine in the summer months. But basically, all you do is you know, in the morning before you shower, right? You just you know, massage yourself with oil. You pour the sesame oil on your hands, rub it in, and massage your whole body. And so then I add this. I do this practice as well. Since I got the sesame oil all over myself, anyways, you know, I just put extra little sesame oil on one of my fingers. You know, you're supposed to use either your index finger or your middle finger. And just do Mula Shodhana at the same time. You know, wash my hands and then shower, and I'm good to go.
I'm not shaking hands with you.
Yeah. yeah. It's, again, you know, bowel movements. I mean, you know, when that area is like lubricated, a bowel movement is very easy. And like, anyways, I think it's worthwhile to try.
I enjoy. How many hours of sleep you have every day?
How much sleep?
Yeah, how much? It
varies, but yeah, not that much sleep actually. Again, as you do the practices, you'll require less and less sleep, right?
This is why I'm asking. Mm-hmm. You have to get up really early to be able to do all this stuff, right?
Yes.
So, how many hours of sleep?
So when I started, right, I used to go to bed at 9 o'clock in the evening when I started doing the practices, right? Because I needed a full 8 hours, right? So I get up at 5, right? So yeah, 7, 8, exactly. So I sleep at 9, and I used to get up at 5, do my practices for like 1 hour or 2 hours actually, and then begin my day. But then after that, now I can, you know, like sleep. I slept at 12 last night, right? I got up at 4 this morning, right? And I can do that for like a week or 2 weeks even, you know. But then usually I have to sleep 5 or 6 hours, but, you know. Again, one person I taught, he slept 4 hours consistently for like years. He could sleep for just 4 hours a night. It was plenty for him.
So right? That's enough.
Yeah.
You reach a certain level.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But yeah, but when I started out though, I had still 8 hours and then practiced, right? And then as I practiced for the 1-2 hours every morning, my sleep gradually reduced, right? The amount of time you know, I started getting up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, you know, I said, well, you know, I might as well sleep later if I'm going to get up at 3 o'clock, right? Yeah. So, lesson 14 asanas. So the next one here is Yoga Mudra. I think I might have showed you this one as well. Yeah. Right? Again, this one you do Padmasana, which everyone, you know, again, if you've mastered or not, bring, we'll do right leg first, and left leg second. Right? And it's a very simple practice. You just, you know, grab your wrist behind your back, and then you just lean over and put your head on the floor. And breathe deeply. Okay, and then we'll do it once more with the legs in the other direction. So put your left leg up first. And the other leg. Spine the back. Exhale, bend over. Okay. So that's Yoga Mudra. Jaladhara Band. So this one is very simple. This is the neck lock. This one we will add to Nadi Shodhana. Again, before you add this practice, again, so the locks actually increase the power of Nadi Shodhana, like, you know, quite a bit, you know, like exponentially. So I guess I might as well talk about it now, but basically with the advanced practice, well, first of all, before you add Jaladhara Band to your Nadi Shodhana, you should be at least up to, you know, a 4-second inhale, you know, a 24-second hold and like a 16-second exhale kind of ratio, right? So keep practicing Nadi Shodhana until you get to at least that ratio, and then you can think about adding the locks. So anyways, I'm going to go over the first lock for anybody who's, you know, who's at that stage. Again, this one is very simple. This one is just, all you do is get from your meditative posture, right? So if you're using Siddhasana, which again was fully explained in the beginner lessons. So back straight, okay? And all you do is you just, okay, let your head come forward, right? Try to keep your back straight. And all you do is you just apply a little bit of pressure. So you apply a little bit of forward pressure to just tighten it up a bit. That. And that's it. Very simple. But the effect is actually quite powerful when combined with Nadi Shodhana. Basically what this does is when you do this this lock. So if you remember, I think I explained the three nadis that go up the spine, Ida and Pingala on each side, alternating, and then Sushumna in the middle. So the objective of Nadi Shodhana, like I think I explained it, is to balance the flow in Ida and Pingala, right? When the flow is balanced in Ida and Pingala, it forces the prana, the spiritual energy, to go in Sushumna, right? So what Jaladhara Band does is actually, again, you do it during the breath retention, and during the breath retention, when you apply this lock, it actually stops the flow completely in Ida and Pingala, and all of the spiritual energy goes in Sushumna at that time, right? So it kind of helps to force open Sushumna. Sushumna is actually blocked to a large degree. There's there's like various knots at various points in Sushumna, and these knots need to be like worn away and broken down, right? And eventually, you know, completely opened. And Sushumna needs to be fully open prior to awakening Kundalini, which is, you know, after the advanced practices. So the goal of the advanced practices basically is, well, one of the main goals is actually to open up Sushumna. And again, we want to make sure the spiritual energy is balanced in the nadis, so you use asanas to do that, and pranayama, and Nadi Shodhana, right?
When you do the lock, what exactly are you locking? Like, I mean,
If I put the pressure, I don't really feel like I'm locked in a position or sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't. Yes, you may not feel much, right? You may not feel much.
Okay.
But the spiritual effect is profound.
Oh. So you just.
Yeah. Exactly. Just to keep your back straight, right? Make sure your back is straight.
Right.
Let your head come forward. And then just tighten it a bit. Just do a little extra, you know, tightening a bit, and that's it. Done.
So enough tightening that you feel a little stretch in the back, or?
Yeah, a little stretch in the back, yeah. Exactly. Just a little stretch.
Okay. Right? Touch your chest position.
Yes, exactly. So again, you want to with your back straight, your chest, your chin should try to, you try to touch your chin, not low on your chest, but high up on your chest, right? So it should be touching as high up on your chest as you can, so that the, you know, again with the back straight, so the chin actually touches fairly high up. Right? Oh, actually, I should show you one more asana. The locked lotus. So this is after a yoga mudra. Kind of got ahead of myself a bit. So this one, do from Padmasana as well, right? And this time you try to bring your feet up as much as you can. And you reach behind your back, grab one foot, and reach behind your back and grab the other foot. And that's the... that's the locked lotus. And again, you should do it the other way too, with the other leg up first, just to balance both legs. Mm-hmm. And grab both feet.
I'm not even trying to reach.
Yeah. Anyways, in case anyone on the video is interested. So that was Jaladharaban we did. So Pranayam. Okay, so now we'll just do like a, you know, 5 minutes of Pranayam, right? So again, the way it works is, again, I'll demonstrate with the neck lock added. So I'll inhale for 4 seconds. I'll then apply the neck lock and hold my breath for 32 seconds, right? You release the neck lock, you exhale, you know, you inhale the left nostril, you exhale the right nostril for 24 seconds. Then you apply the lock again, do the neck lock again and hold the breath out for 8 seconds, right? And then release it, inhale, right nostril, 4 seconds. Apply the neck lock again, hold the breath for 32 seconds. Release it, exhale, left nostril, 24 seconds. And then apply the lock again and hold the breath out for 8 seconds. That's one round. Okay, so we'll do that for 5 minutes. Okay. So again, assume your meditative posture. Again, I just do whatever ratio you're at, right? And don't strain yourself, right? Just do whatever's comfortable, right? So anybody remembers the finger posture? And the left hand can be in a mudra on your knee, left knee. And begin. Actually, do like a couple rounds. Just I do a couple rounds back and forth, just normal breathing, you know, inhale, exhale. And then I start actually the breath retention and all that. You can finish your last round. Yes.
With one nostril, because I have to really...
That's right. It is a fast inhale, yeah.
So it's not a natural inhale. Natural would be like...
That's right. Exactly, yes, exactly. Yes. So you speed up the inhalation, you extend the exhalation very long, right? Yeah. Again, you try to, and also when you inhale, you try to inhale first with your diaphragm, then with your chest. Right, and when you exhale first with your chest, and exhale then with your diaphragm last. Right, the yogic breathing that we learned in the beginning. So now meditation. So in this book, they give all the meditation practices in this book, as I kind of mentioned before. So the one they introduce now is japa, and japa is a great practice, right? I practiced it quite a bit and. Had some wonderful spiritual experiences from it, but it's not technically a prerequisite for Kriya Yoga, right? So we will be skipping the practice of Japa, and instead we will be going with what's given in this book. So this book gives the minimum prerequisites required for Kriya Yoga, right? So I'll give you a bit of an overview of this book. So Swami Satyananda Saraswati, this book was actually written by one of his disciples. Even though it has his name on the cover as the author, several of his disciples, in fact, got together to produce that book. But this one, he wrote himself, right? And he dedicates it to his guru, Swami Shivananda Saraswati. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this book is that, in the beginning, he talks at length, the first 100 pages, he talks about Kundalini, right? He talks about his own experiences with Kundalini, and he talks he talks about Sudhida, Pingala, and Sushumna, and the importance of asanas and in Nadi Shodhana to prepare yourself, basically. So he says, this book doesn't talk about asanas and pranayama. It expects you to either have this book or some other book to learn asanas and pranayama. And he says the main one is Nadi Shodhana, right? That is the main one because you need to open up Sushumna, right? And breath retention with the locks, which I'm going to be teaching you in the advanced class, right? That's all a very critical prerequisites for this book, right? So that's the first 100 pages. He then has a section. So the next section, he talks about each of the chakras, right? That's right. So the next section is all about the chakras, and the next section goes on for how many pages? So that takes us to about page 200, I believe, right? Yeah, page 197. I'll talk about the practices first, and I'll come back and talk about the chakras. So basically, the way the practices work, okay, we'll start on page 200 or so. So we'll go through it. Again, a lot of it is review, what we talked about already, right? But rules and preparation. So diet. So the thing is with diet is that before you do the Kundalini Kriya yoga practices, right? Which we'll learn in 8 months from now, basically, we'll start those. You should be at that time on a vegetarian diet, right? And if you do these practices, the preparatory practices that we're going to do here for awakening the chakras, you will actually become a vegetarian by the end of those practices. If you spend, so again, for this, so the beginner class, we could spend about half an hour a day was fine. But for to really to achieve what's required from the advanced class, you need to spend about 1 hour a day, right, of practicing. And again, if you spend 1 hour a day doing these practices, which we'll be going through over the next 8 months, you will be vegetarian. You will you'll realize the truth about many things, right? If you're not vegetarian after 8 months, that means you probably didn't practice enough, right? You'll need to probably go back and repeat the 8 months again, right? So the next thing is illness. So again, basically, you should have, you know, you shouldn't have any kind of mental illness. In terms of physical illness, again, you have to use your own judgment. You shouldn't be on any medication, though. Is anybody taking any medication? No? Yeah, so then everyone here is good. Again, these practices will tend to react negatively with any medication, right? I mean, medication is considered by the spiritual energy a poison, essentially. It will try to, you know, eradicate it from the body, not really realizing that maybe it's keeping you alive.
Can you tell about any changes? People, you know, human beings' body is getting through ages. Is an age factor?
No, age is not a factor. Age is not a factor. Yeah, no. So
the aging process is not.
If you're healthy, you can do whatever you like. If you're healthy, you can do whatever you want. If you're not on medication, if you don't, your mind is stable, right? You know, you're fine. You're good, right? The other key thing is he says yogic preparation, right? So. Again, we had the 6 weeks of beginner class. I mean, if you have not done the, you know, anyone watching it on the video, if you haven't done the 6 weeks of beginner training first, you definitely need to do that first. Go through those 6 weeks of practice, do some asanas, do some of the Nadi Shodhana, and then you'll be ready for these practices, right? Time of practice. So again, I think I mentioned it before, the best time of practice is in the early morning. He says very specifically here, 2 hours before dawn. Right. So like I said, I used to practice between 5 and 6 or 5 and 7, depending, or 6 and 7, that type of time range. So that works pretty good, you know. Again, it's known as Brahma Murtara, the time divine, right? Basically, at that time in the morning, the spiritual energy is at its maximum, right? And again, hopefully you would have, you know, you've done your bowel movement, the meal from the previous night has been fully digested. It's very peaceful and quiet. It is actually like, I cannot imagine practicing yoga at any other time of day. Right? This is the only time. I mean, from my point of view, the benefits of practicing during, you know, just before dawn, it's just phenomenal, right? That the benefits are just way beyond doing practice any other time of day, right? Place of practice. Again, you want to practice in the same spot every day. Again, you just become familiar with it, the energy kind of builds up in that area, and you automatically will go into deep meditation very rapidly if you keep practicing in the same spot, right? Clothing, you know, regular loose clothing, right? Again, I showed you also in the beginner practices how to tie a dhoti to actually sit, you know, because again, it doesn't get more loose than that. A dhoti is the ultimate in loose clothing. And you can then press your heels in the proper locations as required. Regularity. So again, you need to practice every day, right? At least, again, even if you don't have time, at least, you know, 15 minutes every single day. And again, ideally, to really see the benefit of the practice, is like 1 hour every single day, right? And, yeah. And again, awareness too, right? If you're doing the practices, you can't be thinking about what happened yesterday, you can't be thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, you can't be thinking about other worries and problems in your life, right? You have to try to bring your mind to the practice, what you're doing, right? To your own spiritual development, right? That's the that's how you really get the benefit. If your mind is someplace else when you're doing the practice, you lose 90% of the benefit is lost if your mind is elsewhere when you're doing the practice. So that's a very key thing as well. Next thing is posture. So posture, siddhasana. Again, I had one class in the beginner lessons where I spent a whole class almost talking about siddhasana. So again, just review that class, right? How to tie the dhoti, how to place your heels and everything properly, right? The hand mudras, right? Everything. I won't go over that again. And again, it's different for men and for women, right? Siddha yoni asana for women, right? And now the course. So the actual course itself, it's one class per month, right? You do the same meditation, you do this basically this, you know, asanas you can vary a bit from day to day. Breathing, you keep advancing the breathing, the pranayama practice, until you get to more breath retention, you know. And once you get to, like I said, a certain level of breath retention, internal, external, you then add the locks, right? Jalavana bund we did today. But the meditation, you do the same meditation for the whole month, and then you go to the next meditation, right? So the idea with the meditation is that is to awaken each of the chakras. So each month we want to awaken one chakra, right? So the first month, this month, we want to awaken Ajna chakra. So Brahmudya, between the eyebrows, and Ajna chakra is actually at the top of the spine and kind of in the center of the head, just directly behind Brahmudya, on the spine, at the top of the top of the spine, in the center of the head. So, and then after that, we'll do the other chakras. So then we go to Muladhara, Swadhisthana, Manipura, Ayartha, at the navel, Anahata, Vishuddhi, right? And then that'll be 6 months. The seventh month we do Bindu, which is at the top of the back of the head. And then the eighth month we do a practice that involves all of the chakras simultaneously, right? So 8 months. The class, the advanced class is actually 8 months long. Okay, one class per month. So the other interesting point is why do we start with Brahmudya, with Ajna chakra, right? So one obvious reason is that it's easy one to meditate on, right? It's very easy to concentrate between your eyebrows, actually, compared to a Muladhara, which is kind of a very nebulous type of spot. The other key thing to... I'll actually just read what he's written here, right? So the first month is concerned with awakening Ajna Chakra, and not the lowest one, Muladhara, which is treated in the second month. It may seem more logical and consistent to start with Muladhara practices, right? But it is a rule of Kundalini Yoga that there should be awakening of Ajna Chakra first, right? Unless this is achieved, then the awakening of the lower chakras may rock the stability of the practitioner. One may experience physical, mental, and emotional shocks which one cannot bear, right? The awakening of Ajna Chakra brings a great degree of detachment, which allows one to withstand the lower chakra awakenings without excessive shock, right? One is able to observe chakra experiences with an attitude of a witness, right? This is most essential in Kundalini Yoga. Okay? And the other key thing, so the reason that the other chakras might cause emotional shocks, right, is that all of these samskaras and vasanas are actually stored in the other chakras. Actually, he explains that in the beginning, in the Kundalini section of the book. He says, Ajna, what's special about Ajna is that none of the samskaras or vasanas are stored in Ajna. So when you awaken the Ajna chakra, it's actually a very positive experience. It can only be a positive experience because there's nothing negative stored there, right? So again, that was my experience as well when I awakened the Ajna chakra. It was a very, my first really profound spiritual experience, and it was a very positive experience, and it really motivated me to keep going deeper into yoga and keep practicing, right? So again, when I did the other chakras though, then you start releasing the vasanas and samskaras, and then you could go into have some kind of emotional turmoil might result a bit. Again, because you have this attitude of detachment, kind of, you kind of realize that it's a natural process, that you don't have to, that you are just releasing past impressions and desires that you've had from your this lifetime, previous lifetimes, that it's just, it's nothing to concern yourself with, basically, right? It becomes a much more easier process to work through all those past karmas and vasanas, samskaras, right? So again, main thing, let's see. He says very clearly, right? So again, practice for 1 month. So again, don't mix up the practices. Right, so the practice is given for each chakra are the building blocks from which the Kriya Yoga techniques are constructed, right? As such, you should perfect them before proceeding to the Kriyas. You know, ultimately, we're going to give up all this stuff. Ultimately, we will only practice the Kundalini Kriyas of Kriya Yoga. But for now, we need to do these practices, right? You know, ultimately, you only need to practice the Kriyas. But prior to this, you must devote at least 1 hour a day to the chakra practices for the next 8 months. Okay? And then after that, we'll see where we are. So the practices for Ajna Chakra, again, we've covered all of them in the beginning course, right? So the first one is Anulom Vilom and Pranashuddhi, right? So if you remember that one, It was just, it was kind of like Nadi Shodhan, except you just do it with your mind, right? So you inhale left, just mentally you inhale left, exhale right, inhale right, exhale left, right? And you count 100 and you count back to 1, right? From 100 back to 1. So one thing he adds in here, which is kind of interesting, instead of just, you know, doing a normal inhalation, left, exhale right, he says when you inhale left to start with, inhale left all the way up to Brahmavya, right? And then do a normal exhale right. When you inhale right, do an inhale right all the way to Brahmavya. And then exhale normally right. Okay, you do that 4 times, and then prana should be both together to Brahmavya, and then out. Okay, again, review the video when I cover this in detail, right? So now you want to not just do the single practice, but you want to actually do all 3 meditation practices that we learned before all together, right? So the next one is Tratak. Tratak again, I explain Tratak in detail. So again, just review the video, but just briefly, Tratak is, again, you can use a candle flame, and you just pick some object that you're going to like memorize, right? You could actually look at it externally and, you know, and just try to, just gaze at it and keep your eyes still, right? And you synchronize the breathing, right? You inhale and bring to the back of the head, and then you exhale back out to the object. And you can do it with your eyes closed as well. You visualize the object here, and you just exhale and inhale through Brahmavya to the back of the head and then back out, right? Again, all the details are in the, I've already given in the beginning class, so just review those videos, right? And the third practice is Shambhavi Mudra with Om chanting. Again, that was what we did lesson 12. We just did that last class, right? So again, you do that with your, start off with your eyes open and up and across. You focus your eyes here. You do some quick Oms, Om, 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 right? Close your eyes. Keep your eyes concentrated between your eyebrows and do long Oms. Om, Om, right? And then finally you do mentally you repeat Om, right? And then you end that practice with 3 loud Oms, right? So so for timing, basically for your 1 hour, I would recommend about 15 to 20 minutes of asanas, about 10 minutes of Nadi Shodhana, and then you should do each of Anulom Vilom for 10 minutes, Tratak for 10 minutes, and Shambhavi Mudra for with Om chanting for 10 minutes. And that's your 1 hour, every day, right? Okay. So I guess we got 5 minutes still, so we'll just do, let's do like just, quickly just 2 minutes of each practice. So we'll do like maybe do a count of 10 back to 1 of Anulom Vilom. Another 2 minutes of, Tratak, just internal visualization. You should have an object of awareness that you've already picked, right? And then we'll do another 2 minutes of, just Om chanting with the Shambhavi Mudra. Okay? So give that a try. So assume your meditative posture. Okay. Back straight. Hands in the mudra, resting on your knees. Eyes closed. And then begin. And I'll prompt you when to switch. pain, I'll switch from Anulom Vilom to Tratak with internal visualization. Now, Shambhavi Mudra, you can do it with your eyes closed and mentally repeating Om. And we'll finish with one long Om. You can open your eyes. Okay, so that's it for the first lesson of the advanced practices. Any questions? Okay, I guess we're good.